Hello, you're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
And we're from the otakuspirit.com website, where you can go for all of our news, anime, podcasts, social media links on the right side there, forums up the top. Click on that link and join a fantastic community of members. And yeah, today we are doing our discussional podcast episode where we talk about the news that seems important to us, which should be important to you because it's important to us, because it's important to you, something like that. And then dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members that they have left on our forums there or contacted us directly with questions, which we really do appreciate. But yes, anything of note before we get into the news?
Not that I can think of.
Nothing?
No.
Like, not that Alice is back in Crossing Void? That's not important?
That's important to you.
I went after her, too. Yeah, Crossing Void got me an Alice, which is great. I got Dual Blade Kirito, too, but that wasn't as interesting as Alice
I didn't get
was.
Either, so...
Yeah, and
well, I'm not done with Alice yet, so I can still get her, but who
Swimsuit
knows?
Swimsuit event on the Madoka Magica Magia Record game.
Oh, yeah?
Not even interested in that?
No. I even finally accidentally broke my login streak on Fate Go and said, okay, I'm done.
Yes, finally I can. Yeah, I was reminded here recently of how much that Yacha system sucks because I went after Okta Altar and that was terrible. So I'm like, yeah, well,
it looked like you had her. So
reminder of that, how terrible that whole process is. And no, I guess I had a. Yeah, I've limited myself on that game because it's just I'm not playing as much, so it's like, why should I really roll on this? So, I don't know. We'll see if the swimsuit event or Skasaha Scotty will make me want to actually pay in that game again. But yeah, wasting like somewhere around probably 400 or so quarts on her nothing. So I'm like, yeah, that's fake grand order. So much easier to get units in Crossing Void. So much more rewarding. So
yeah,
we'll
that's the trick with Crossing Void is exactly what I was talking about at some point is Crossing Void actually makes you want to play. And in the process of actually wanting to play, they're a lot more, I'm not going to say lenient with their units because there is still that gacha system that is kind of, I mean, if you were actually actively going after things, I could see that it could be brutal, but at the same time, it is a lot more...
it's got a guaranteed system, and that's kind of nice.
Well, that...
You roll that, 91 times, you will get the unit no matter what.
That's true, too.
And I always get it way before then, but it's like...
Yeah.
It's nice that it technically will guarantee it to you.
Right. But what I was going to say is even if you don't get the S, you're going to probably get one of the lower ones at some point, so... And it's there is a system where you could actually build that up to an S rank. Now, be aware that, yeah, there is a system that is past the S rank.
Awakenings.
Yeah, and you do have to have multiples of that. So, yeah, it is kind of brutal on that respect. But
yeah. It's one of those things. Yeah, it does kind of play into effect if you do the PvP stuff, which... I've never really cared for it, so I literally go on the PvP and just do it just to get my tokens, and I'm out of there. But, I mean, there is a system in there for the people that want to do that, but the game itself doesn't really technically reward it in any aspect. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I can technically... I used the Awakening coins that I got from the... What was it called? Expedition. I haven't done it in so long. I don't remember what it was called. The Pinnacle, I think it was?
Yeah.
I used those Awakenings to get Alice to the second phase. And then I got a second one from rolling a few, like 20 more, just to get her another copy. I could go after the fourth Awakening or whatever, but it's like, yeah, like 5% increase in Arcane and Defense. Yeah, that's important. And there was another one that was like something with the shield. It increased the shield or something like that. And it's like, yeah, it's not really that important. So, I mean, as long as I think if you really liked a character, yeah, it sucks that you have to technically get, like, two more S-rank copies from the gacha before it will get to that 5% damage bonus, because that's probably the most crucial thing. But overall, you don't really necessarily need it. It is cool that, yeah, you can take a character, because I've done it with several characters, take them from, like, you know, C-rank, whatever it is, all the way, or it's B, green, whatever it is, all the way up to A rank is really easy, but to get the S rank is like really rare. And I finally did it with one character, and I showed Chris. I'm like, hey, look, I finally did it.
Well,
with
that, a character I don't use. Yeah, that's one of those things. It's like, at least now we know for it is confirmed that it's possible to do it.
Because I kept hearing people say no, and some people say yes, and then some people say it used to not be that way in Japan, which really sucked, and now it's a thing. Because that was another aspect that it, like, every time you did it, every time you went up a talent, it would like randomly choose a pointage. Now it's like it stays at a level each time you go up it, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's fun. And apparently the girl from Railgun won the vote for them to make a new unit. So good on everybody that actually knows who that character is. And I still don't know why that got so many votes when I literally see nobody talk about that character ever before. So it's like, okay, I'm interested in that character now, but wow, how did it beat all these other characters? I think it technically beat Yuki because people know she's coming already, but it's still shocking. But
yeah, and that's just like the one that I chose. Technically, she's kind of more obscure because it's a show that not a lot of people actually follow. So, I mean, you would think that people would actually be interested in that show, seeing how Inju's in there and Rintaro is in there, but no, she's... I mean, I hope that
I'm thinking of Tina Sprout.
Tina Sprout, that's who a goofy name. I was thinking it was a vegetable.
Kohina.
Of some sort.
Kohina was cool too. Kohina, who was with the bad guy, Kagetane.
Yeah, yeah. The she was the dolphin girl, right? Tina Sprout. I can't remember what her. She technically was.
She was an assassin. She was supposed to kill him. She had the big huge railgun thing.
Well, Inju's a bunny, and
oh, you mean like
yeah, yeah. They're animal spirit or whatever they.
The poor blind girl. The show was so sad.
It was a sad show.
So sad. I'm trying to remember who Kaio was. Kaio Senju. I guess she was with one that came in later on. Dolphin.
Oh, she's the dolphin. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I remember her. Never mind. It's more sad stuff. Closing.
Yes. Sad stuff.
Stupid sad show. And didn't really have a conclusion. It technically had a conclusion to it. Just not a resolve for everything. That's the only problem. But other than that, just more Final Fantasy 14 for me. And that's about it. Just kind of looking at games they pop up and deciding if I want to play them and not playing them and playing GTA 5 for a little bit and then getting bored and turning it off and then going and playing something else. I just can't do open world games very much anymore. Like, I love Horizon Zero Dawn. That was such an amazing looking game and everything, but after a while, it's like, I just don't have any direction. I feel bored.
Most
chasing
of my
random things nearby.
Most of my gaming has just been bouncing around from different things. I did get stuck in Minecraft for a while, but the other day I started it up and I was like, yeah, I'm not feeling it anymore and clicked it off and I haven't touched it since.
The only reason I played GTA is because it was free. Then I had to download freaking 95 gigs or something for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad after you said 95 gigs, I'm glad I didn't go ahead and just, well, what the heck? You know, just
hit the buy button. leave it in your Epic Game Store catalog.
That's a lot of them. I've got several builder games in there that I'm interested in, but not enough to even do them. I tried one out today that, yeah, that is absolutely the worst game that I've ever played, honestly.
That's on the back of the box. Chris. Taku Spirit. Thank you. Send us a review codes.
Well, it was kind of based on the idea of building up an industry in Mars, and I wanted to try it out, and it dumped me, and I clicked the single player, and I'm guessing I was playing against AIs or something like that, and I'm still trying to learn it. I don't want to play the stupid tutorial because tutorials take forever and a day, and so I learned faster myself.
Huh? The tutorial in Final Fantasy 15 was terrible. I was like, wow, this is like old school tutorial where like literally they stick you in a room and say you're going to do this.
And I'm sitting there dinking around and the AIs, and you know that the AIs were probably on low level, and they're absolutely destroying me. And it's like, okay, this is not the reason why I clicked on single player.
Get good.
Yeah, pretty much. So I did learn quite a bit, and they slaughtered me. They actually bought me out. That's how you lose in that game. And so they bought me out, and so I started a new game, but this time I actually figured out how to start a map without any AI. And then I won it with, like, no problems. And it was like, this is kind of boring now.
Too challenging or not challenging at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Very, very interesting. I finally got Little Busters for Switch. Yay.
Yeah.
So I got Little Busters, Frugasaya, and Clannad.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you wanted me to put it on the list, but they have, I don't know if we've seen this already, but Konosuba is coming to Switch.
Yep, it's in the list.
Yep,
spoiler. List.
Spoiler. I'm sorry.
Spoiler. And it's delayed.
I thought I looked at it, but I didn't see it. So
I guess it's a good sign to get into the news that seems important to us. It should be important to you because it's important to us. Kicking things off with some fantastic Netflix news. These are the positive news, that, like, when Netflix does something good. So rejoice, everybody. There's no Netflix news here that's bad. So, starting things off, we have Mirai, the film by Mamoru Hosoda, is going to be is streaming on Netflix, so you can actually check it out there for all those that are quarantined or holding up in their houses for other reasons. You can enjoy Mirai, the film by Mamoru Hosoda, so that's pretty cool. Hopefully here soon we can check that out, because, of course, like usual, we couldn't really go run over there and see it. also, just to kind of put some reminders out there, I don't remember if we actually talked about this or not, but really excited to see the film by Mario Okada, the A Whisker Away anime film, is going to be streaming on Netflix, which will hit on June 18th. So by the recording of this, not very far away, it's about 12 days. So that's exciting. It looks really cute. I'm kind of curious how they'll handle certain things, because it's like some girl apparently taking possession of possessing a cat and hanging out with the boy that she likes, and it's getting a little weird with the whole to be human thing. So we'll see, but it looks really cute, so I'm excited to see how that one turns out. It's really good. Excited?
Yeah, actually, very much.
I totally forgotten that it was Mario Kata until I was making the outline. I'm like, oh, that's right. Cool. Yay.
More Mario Kata. I'm actually kind of mixed on which one I'm more excited about. I love Mamoru Hosoda, and I love Mario Kata, so I'm excited for both.
Yeah, yeah. It's like just a barrage of awesome films, so it's awesome. And then finally, for those that are okay with tragic stuff, maybe you watched Magnitude 8.0, the Masaki Yuasa, Japan Sinks 2020, is going to premiere on Netflix on July 9th, so looking for a disaster film. Look forward to that one on July 9th. So, looks like the Japan is sinking or something. Just blowing up and earthquakes. I don't know if it's going to be an earthquake thing, but it looks like an earthquake thing. So, we'll see. But, yeah, it gives me a lot of memories of Magnitude 8.0, which is also a very good anime. So, you guys can check that one out, too. So, cool stuff on Netflix. Like I said, these are all positive news for once. They have a lot of cool stuff coming out.
Tokyo Tower looks a little bit rough.
A lot of it looks rough. A lot of it looks rough. So, yeah. Cool stuff, cool stuff, cool stuff. I'm looking forward to all three of those, definitely. Maybe less on Japan Sinks, because it's probably going to be really screwed up, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, moving on, a little bit of gaming news, but it's anime-related. We have Spike Chunsoft has announced that they are developing a new game based on ReZero. This one is going to be called ReZero, Starting Life in Another World, The False Royal Election Candidate. And it is going to be releasing on PS4, Switch, and PC this winter. So look forward to that. Hopefully it'll come over here pretty quickly, maybe sometime mid-2021, unless they somehow do a simultaneous release with the West. But I highly doubt it. We'll see. We'll see.
Was ReZero a visual novel, or was it a light novel?
Light novel.
Uh-huh.
Got like the whole chibi characters in a 3D space when they're running around with the whole kind of visual novel chat happening. So, looks really good. Looks very good. I'm not sure what kind of gameplay it'll have. Maybe just walking around and talking? Not sure there's going to be combat or anything.
I don't know.
It doesn't really specify the gameplay style, so probably just like a walk-around visual novel. Cool stuff. Cool stuff. Moving on, we have Attack on Titan. The final season trailer has released, and you can go check it out now. Looks pretty spectacular, especially, again, for those that are, you know, reading the manga and they know what's going on here coming up soon, so it's kind of excited to see how that gets adapted. Now, now that that's out of the way, let's get into the question marks here. Apparently, the big surprise with this particular announcement was that MAPPA is going to be doing it. Chris has a question mark face going on. Yes, MAPPA will be replacing Wit Studio and doing the final season of Attack on Titan, which is... Here's the thing for me. It's like, if they announced it, any other studio, maybe, you know, besides maybe, you know, Kyoto Animation or Ufotable. I mean, even with Kyoto Animation, I would have question marks with that one. But yeah, maybe if it was Ufotable, I wouldn't have any fears. MAPPA, I don't really have any fears. It is a solid studio that does amazing stuff. And I might add, is one of the studios that does the best at hiding CGI. And if you guys know our reviews based on the recent Attack on Titans, I've been kind of criticizing them a little bit on how they're handling the Colossal Titan and using CGI and making him look very out of place. MAPPA is excellent at hiding CGI. But at the same time, the work that Wit Studio has done for the Attack on Titan series so far has been spectacular. And it does raise fears of anybody else handling that with as much care as Wit Studio has. It has been like their baby lately. So,
and but they've had an awesome director doing it too. So
that is the other big fear, is that you now have a new director working on this. And that has been the scariest thing about it. It's going to be Yuichiro Hayashi, which has done Dorohedoro and Dorohedoro, Garo the Animation, and Kakegurui. Not saying that he did a bad job on any of that stuff. I would probably argue, because technically the only one that I've watched all the way through has been Kakegurui and Garo the Animation. And Kakegurui, fantastically directed. It looks great, even though I do have my problems with the, you know, the choice of the... But that's the aesthetic of the show, is that weird, goofy, derpy-looking face thing going on. But... what is the reason why, well, at least for me anyways, if you've heard me echoing, I think you agreed on it too, is what was the main reason why Attack on Titan, the animation, has been so fantastic?
It's because it's been well cut. I mean...
yeah, they're fixing the problems that was in the manga. They're cutting out all the fat, they're getting to the story beats, they're getting everything put in there that needs to be in there, but they're not repeating themselves like the manga does. And they were pulling stuff forward to make it more coherent. They were actually pulling stuff and cuts from the later parts into the earlier parts because it made sense.
Right.
And so, yes, the good positive thing in this whole situation is that it's the same scriptwriter. So we do have the scriptwriter returning for this with MAPPA, but a new director. And I don't know enough about the production of the other seasons to know... like, was it the director that was doing that phenomenally? Or was it the scriptwriter that was pulling that off phenomenally? Was it the storyboard writer? I don't know. But the fear now is that that link that was making that fantastic work of adapting this might be gone. Now, technically, we're at a point in the story where I don't know that you would want to... you know, you can't really move things around much anymore. But it is also one of the points that was the most jarring for me. Like,
yeah.
This point in the story, I literally didn't know what time frame they were sitting in. Like, I was like, is this a flashback? Who are these characters? It was a very confusing part in the story. But yeah, it was a point in which I went finally, oh yeah, that's where we're at. Okay, I understand now. But it is probably one of the more confusing parts of the story. And it is also a part that is pretty wordy. So, again, my hope is just that they got the right people to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of question marks flying up in my head right now. Will they do as good a job as that original team did by taking something that was... and I'm Dorohedoro is technically on Netflix now, and I'm really wanting to watch it right now just so I can see a more recent, you know, work by this director, just to see if it's I'm not going to ease my mind, I guess. It's not going to change anything. But, yeah, that sucks. But I know that Witch Studio is very busy, and they probably wanted to get this done now and get it over with while, you know, the manga is wrapping up, or is wrapped up. Wrapped up, isn't it?
I don't know.
I forget. I think it is, but...
All I know is that I tried to get into Crunchyroll app the other day, and it was broke.
Oh, it's always been broke.
Well, yeah, that's true. But this time it was a different broke.
I told Chris, I'm like, I had texted him the video. I'm like, holy crap. And again, at the time, I totally didn't see Mappa on there. And I was just seeing, yeah, sweet, the final season. This looks amazing. And yeah, the trailer does look amazing. I'm not sure if, I'm assuming Mappa did the thing. And of course, all PVs are like just all the best clips that they've animated specifically for the PV. But I just shot to him, I'm like, yeah, well, gotta admit, I cringe when I seen a certain character. I'm sure people that have read through the manga know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, that whole thing of like, again, Chris, where are you at with it? So I felt, can I talk about this again? I always do this like every few weeks. It's, Chris, how far are you in it so I can talk to you about this thing? That was how it was before, too, with a certain somebody's steam bath, I'll say. I'll just, the steam bath thing. And what followed the steam bath thing. The people that watch the anime know what I'm talking about. It's already happened in the anime, so... Anywho, that's happening. We'll see. Like, and I think that MAPPA's a fantastic studio, and I have no doubts that they'll do a phenomenal job. But the change in staff, I just hope they do as good as Wit Studio did, because Wit Studio did a phenomenal job with that, so... Yeah. We'll see. Anything else on that one?
Nah.
I'm excited to see those scenes. It's got to be a two-core, though, because there's a lot to go through still. It's a lot to go through. Unless they cut a lot. Who knows? Cut the fat. All right, let's see. Next one. British anime distributor Anime Limited, or All the Anime, has announced new Blu-ray titles. Now, this is like a mixed mash of kind of exciting things, but kind of... troubling things. We have they're doing the ultimate edition of Be the Beginning, so thankfully it's not just going to be a strictly Japan only release on Blu-ray. For those who don't remember, Be the Beginning was a title that Netflix had put money into and had exclusive on their platform, so the big question mark was up there of, will this ever get a physical release? And I was even interested in getting a physical release of it. Well, thankfully Anime Limited is going to be doing distribution of it. They're going to do it in UK and the US, which is a very big surprise. People can correct me. I don't recall them ever doing a distribution in the US before, but they are doing that for Be the Beginning. So that's awesome. They are still working out the details, but they said there is for sure going to be availability on Right Stuff. So check out Right Stuff to see if Be the Beginning drops there if you're looking for it. It's going to be set for an October release. Is going to include a dub of the series, original soundtrack, a comprehensive 160-page art book, and a set of A4-sized art prints. Now, UK-specific releases they announced is they're going to be doing Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Blu-ray. For those that are in the US, Aniplex has already announced they're going to do a physical release of that, and I think they were the ones that were going to do Funimation doing a standard release of that, too. Wasn't the one we were talking about?
I think that was the one.
Yeah. That was that weird one of like, ooh, this is going to test those theories of, you know, both of them doing distribution and if there's going to be a quality difference there. They're going to be doing a release in the UK for Code Geass Lelouch of the Resurrection, Planetes Blu-ray. And here is the big shocker of, this is probably like the most shocking news in the last few weeks, is they're going to be doing a release of Neon Genesis Evangelion TV series and the two Evangelion films on Blu-ray in the UK. No US mention.
Oh, of course not.
So here, this was a shocker because when we announced that Netflix got Evangelion, the original TV series, the big question was, oh crap, does that mean they'll never release the Blu-ray over here? Because the Blu-ray is already released in Japan. So the big fear was like, we'll never get a Blu-ray release of it in the West because, and the significance of that is that even for partial collectors or just kind of casual collectors, Evangelion has not had a release in the US since the DVD days. And so when they announced a Blu-ray release in Japan, it was like, oh, thank goodness, we're going to get a Blu-ray release of this. We need it over here. We need a new distribution of that over here.
And then Netflix grabbed it.
Netflix grabbed it. And that's like, even with the beginning, it was like, every time there's an anime that is on Netflix and nowhere else, if it's exclusively streaming on Netflix, the question mark is physical distribution is always up in the air. And again, Be the Beginning was the first time where we've seen it actually getting a physical release. So the question now is if Evangelion would. So obviously, the physical rights are up for grabs because Anime Limited has it. So will Anime Limited do a physical release for the US, or will somebody finally be able to grab this thing is a big question mark. And I do really hope somebody does.
This is when we find out some guy named Johnny over in Arkansas has the legal rights to distribute, and he hasn't had a distribution center in nearly 30 years.
No, you find out it's just like a song that plays for 2 seconds somewhere in that TV series. It's the song that they did the whole dance routine to. That's like licensed by somebody in the Americas, and so they're like, crap, we can't just like redo that part. And Netflix was the only one that could pay to have the rights to that song for that streaming. Oh, that would be bad. Or it'll be that damn company that has the Robotech series. The company that shall not be named. Oh, gosh, yeah. So, I mean, thanks Anime Limited for doing distribution of Be the Beginning. I think that's an exciting start. There's other titles similarly as Evangelion, like, you know, Violet Evergarden. Like, is that going to get a physical release ever? Will all these original titles that's done by Netflix ever get a physical release? Those are all the question marks that I'm hoping right now are kind of getting answered. And so I'm keeping my eye on Anime Limited to see what comes up next from them, because that's really exciting going forward.
It seems like I remember the guys on the Anime Limited podcast were talking about grabbing a couple of licenses that were out in the open, and that was before Netflix started doing all this. Hmm. So
maybe they've seen it.
Question mark. Possibly they were. This all happened before Netflix started throwing their weight around. But who's to say?
It does get me excited for certain things, like the Monster. It's like Monster. I remember, I think it was Sean Kleckner talking about the feasibility of getting Monster is like extremely difficult. And so these companies are looking at these titles. They're not dumb. They know that these titles are, you know, people want them so bad. It's just there's something somewhere. There's a certain thing that's in whatever episode. There's a voice actor. There's a song or something in there that is just too difficult to get a hold of. Or there's a license to it that's in a drawer somewhere in an abandoned building they can't find. They've explained stuff like that, and it always makes these things very difficult. But it's good to see successes every now and then.
Yeah.
Seeing Evangelion finally revived and get a physical release. Hopefully they'll make one that's for the Americas region. If you do have an like a region-free player, definitely just jump on that. But just know that if you don't have a region-free player, you know, hold on a second. Don't just jump out there and buy, you know, Evangelion from them. Now, of course, the release of Be the Beginning, that's going to be a region for the Americas. So don't worry about that. But cool stuff. I'm very excited about that. Again, I'll keep an eye on Anime Limited going forward. I never really kept an eye on them before just because their stuff was for the UK. But it's a good reason to keep an eye on them now. Cool stuff. See here. Yeah. Get Violet Evergarden. Damn it. Violet Evergarden and Evangelion. Those are the two that we need over here. If you're listening, Anime Limited. That's the two we want over here. Or at least I want. Can't speak for everybody. Some other good news. We have new manga is being launched based on the Show by Rock TV series. It's going to be done by Takemaru Yokoshima. And it'll be releasing on July 4th in Japan. So if you're a big fan of Show by Rock like we are, look forward to a manga based on the TV series, which is pretty cool. Excited for that one?
I adore those girls, so yeah, I can be excited.
More retro is always good. More retro is always good. Retro Crush is adding new titles to their anime streaming. That includes Blackjack, the 93 version OVA, A Time Slip of 10,000 Years Prime Rose, Mazinger Edition Z, The Impact, which will be releasing on June 12th. Also on June 12th, the story of Saiyun Koku. And on June 19th, the two will be True Tears and Jungle Emperor Leo. And on the 26th, Miss Machiko and Undersea Super Train Marine Express. The fact that True Tears is on that makes me feel old because they're calling that retro. I guess it doesn't have to be retro, but it does hurt me to know that stuff that I've watched is considered retro when they don't seem that old. I guess technically Jungle Emperor Leo is only 2009, but yeah. When was True Tears? True Tears is not that old.
Doesn't look that old.
I want to see that was a 2008, maybe it might be in 2009. That was it's one of the first PA Works titles for people that don't know. 2008, yeah. Another Mario Kata. I'm surprised you haven't watched that one just because of Mario Kata.
I did not know it was Mario Kata. I was already considering it because I do know that there's a lot of people who love that show, and I
liked it except for the ending. The ending made me so mad.
And it's probably because of a Mario Kata thing and
yeah, the whole thing. It is funny because it's like one of those ones where I know at the time I knew it wasn't Mario. I for a fact knew that back when I watched it, had no clue who Mario Kata was. But it is one of those ones where when I eventually find out it's Mario Kata and I'm looking at her list and I see True Tears, I go, oh, that's why that was the way that was. That explains everything. Oh, so that's why the melodrama was in it. Okay. That's why the ending made me mad.
Well, and that's the funny thing is technically I didn't really much like Mario Kata until I started finalizing the shows. Now I like her because I understand the way her shows work a bit better.
I didn't say I know how she thinks now. I know why she's crazy.
I'm not going to say I know how she thinks.
Oh, man.
Because I didn't like the beginning parts of several of her shows, and I was not very good at completing her shows.
Screenplay for Rose and Maiden.
Rose and Maiden was one that I did love.
Screenplay.
I loved Rose
Basilisk. And Maiden.
But that's technically not written by her.
Screenplay for The Natural. Aria. Serious competition for Sasami Magical Girls? What the heck? Some of this stuff's crazy. Yeah, and then of course, True Tears. So I guess True Tears was like the first one that I really...
Vampire Knight. I loved Vampire Knight. I really, really want to go back and watch that again.
And we have Gosick now. We really do need to watch Gosick.
I so want to watch that. I only got through like 3 episodes of that.
Still watched Wandering Sun. I think Nagino Asakura was definitely the first one I think I knew who Mario Kata was. Because I think I know for a fact I learned who she was when I watched Hanasaki Roha. And Anohana I watched pretty close to it, I believe. So I really kind of knew who she was after those two. I think I watched Blasted Tempest without knowing that it was her.
Yeah, I didn't know it was her. But then we weren't trying to follow that kind of stuff either. Yeah.
That's interesting. So yeah, and we got another reason to me to force Chris to watch True Tears since I have 2 copies of it now. I have a DVD and a Blu-ray of it now. I can finally watch it with him. I'm curious how I'll think of it now that I've, you know, had so much time since I watched it originally. I mean, we're talking 10 years. Could be way different. So yeah, cool for Retro Crush. Definitely check that out if you are interested in those titles. I know a few of those are for sure on Crunchyroll, but it's good to have another service out there for people to choose from to check out. Cool stuff. Let's see. A new trailer has released for My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu Season 3, and it has revealed a July 9th debut. I think we already knew that was going to be a July release. I just don't know if we knew that it was going to be the 9th, so... Another year, another month, and Andrew will finally get his last season, so he knows if he needs to burn down the world or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Pretty much.
Yay!
I'm just not even trying. I'm not even going to, because
It says Prime on there. I'm not sure if it's going to be on Amazon or not, because there's a lot of stuff now. It was funny, at some point, we've seen a lot of trailers were showing, you know, they were Amazon Prime streaming in Japan, and we were like, oh, cool. For a while there, it was like, when it had that on the trailer, it was going to be on Amazon in the West. And last few seasons, hasn't really happened, so. Because, I mean, we haven't really watched anything on there since I watched Vinland Saga on there.
Yeah.
And then before then, it was Dododo. And they really haven't much other than that, so.
Yeah, like I said, it seems like they just gave up. They're just playing out their final contracts.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even get the second season of Josh and Chan, so crazy. Next one we have news on ReZero, June 11th, apparently. I'm guessing that means that it was delayed from April to July.
No, that was already announced. The delayed from April to July was already announced. They are going to be doing a live stream on June 11th at 9 o'clock Japan time, and on the Kadokawa Anime YouTube channel. And it's going to be some magical announcement, whatever that super special announcement is. I don't know, but they're going to make an announcement on June 11th.
Okay, so June 11th, 9 p.m. Japan time, or Japanese standard time. They're going to have a stream, and
they're announcing the announcement.
They're announcing. Okay, gotcha. All right, cool stuff. Moving on, we have a 21-year-old was arrested. A Kyoto resident was arrested on suspicion of threats to Tatsuki. Who could hate Tatsuki?
I don't know.
He did some really terrible things, like threatening to burn down things, which is something you really shouldn't do in Japan right now because of what happened with Kyoto Animation, but he decided to do that, so that's not a funny thing to do right now, but good thing that he's arrested, and hopefully
he has a personal grudge against
them. Yeah, I couldn't really find out what made him not have a personal grudge against him, but he apparently has a personal grudge against him.
Probably that he didn't do part two of Kimono
Freak. But I mean, most people in Japan were pretty darn clear that it wasn't his fault, and
they were literally going to burn down
the entire world because of they're wanting to burn down the people for choosing not to have him. They were shaving their heads because he didn't get chosen.
This guy probably didn't get the memo.
That could be. I guess in other news, the guy that burned down Kyoto's place is finally apparently under arrest because he's been recovering in the hospital, and so now he's finally well enough that they could arrest him. So I thought he was already arrested, but apparently you're not officially arrested until you're out of the hospital. So yeah, that's a thing. Brand new animal, or BNA, The Trigger Show, is getting a manga adaptation. So Asano is going to be drawing this manga, but cool stuff. Get excited there. I don't know who Asano is and what Asano's done before, but if you know Asano, that's something you can be excited for. And again, for those that don't remember, BNA should be on Netflix later this year or this month, so look forward to that. She professed herself pupil of The Wise Man is getting an anime adaptation. This is, of course, a MMO isekai novel series. The novel series centers around Kagami Sakimori, a player of an MMO game where he plays as one of the game's world's nine great sages, the stoic summoner Dunbalth. When he falls asleep playing the game one night, he awakens inside the game's world as his character, but now in the form of a cute girl. That was a weird twist at the end. So there you go. I wonder how much of the first volume is him exploring himself.
I'm thinking.
He could be a very pure boy. He could be a very pure boy. It's fine. Interesting. We'll see. We'll see how that one turns out. Is that considered a revenge? A revenge Is it a revenge sick? Because a girl dumped him before he fell asleep, and the revenge isekai is now he's her.
There you go.
Called it. Weathering With You film is shipping on Blu-ray on September 15th in North America. It's being released by G Kids and Shout Factory. And once again, in their fashion, their holding the limited edition until November. So if you want the limited edition, you have to wait a little bit longer. So
I really don't get that. I understand
double selling.
That's a lot of it. And that's really frustrating.
Yep. I'm just going to go
like
that.
Like I said, good.
It's business.
Well,
it's business.
That's not good business. It really isn't.
Yeah, technically it is. They probably sold plenty of double copies of, I did it. I bought multiple copies of several of their shows already, so.
Yeah, but it does irritate you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's messing with the goodwill of the customer. That's what
they still sell it. Still sell it.
Because they're a gatekeeper.
That's the problem is that, you know, if you only have one source for something, you don't really have a choice. And to be honest, if we weren't watching it for what we do, I probably would have waited for the limited edition and not bought it. But we really wanted to watch it, and even though we take forever to release our reviews, so it doesn't really matter anyways. it does make it easier to be able to talk about it and discuss shows and stuff. So we have more Yuki Yuna as a Hero coming. Chris, excited?
Yeah.
It's based off a smartphone game, and it's just a short series. It's called Yuki Yuna wa Yusha de Aru, which is Yuki Yuna as a Hero. Churuto. So, yeah, based on a smartphone game. Looks like chibi-style art here. I'm not sure if if the show is going to be chibi art. But if it's a short, I'm sure that's probably chibi art. Cute little artwork, so we'll see. It's Yuki Yuna as a Hero, a sparkling bouquet. I need that game. Bring the game over. I want a Yuki Yuna game. Not that Vita one that I was totally going to buy and I didn't buy. And then I'm kind of glad I didn't buy because it didn't look like it would ran pretty well. So, Madhouse and X-Flag revealed a short anime based on Monster Strike, which is kind of crazy. Of course, Monster Strike being a pretty popular mobile game. But, it looked pretty cool. You can check it out. It's all on, I just totally skipped through it. Sorry, Chris. I've seen a stupid button here. And I have to click the button. There's an X there, and I need to click the X. It was a pretty cool little animation. Of course, it's Madhouse. They usually do a pretty, spectacular job on a lot of animations. So, but yeah, some girl teleporting to another world and fighting some big monster thing. And it's funny because the monster, did swipes like he was looking at a phone or something, which I guess is a nod to the game. Definitely not what Monster Strike looks like, though.
I was trying to figure out what the heck Monster Strike was, and looking at this, if you're saying this is not Monster Strike, then I guess I'll never know what Monster Strike is. Seems like I should know what Monster Strike is, but
probably one of the biggest grossing games ever right now. Just by a little bit. Pretty much has collabs with every single franchise known to man. But the game itself looks pretty boring to me. I mean, I understand there's a strategic aspect to the flicks and what characters you choose and all that jazz. Don't get me wrong. It's just not a game for me, I guess. The anime short looks cute, though.
So you're playing Pool or something?
Yeah, kind of like Pool. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
All right.
And like I said, they've had let's think. I've seen Seven Deadly Sins. I think Sailor Moon was on it at some point. I think they did Attack on Titan. I think every single anime franchise literally has done a collab with them. That's the only frustrating thing is everything has done a collab for this. I want this, even though I don't really like the game. Let me see. Monster Strike list of collabs. Bleach collab. Looks like it. Apparently the Dengeki collabs. That's pretty much every character from Crossing Void is going to be on there. Shauna, Accelerator, Sword Art Online, da-da-da-da. Final Fantasy X collab. Well, that's just Final Fantasy in general. So you have Cloud and
Luna. I see Yuna.
Yuna. Noctis, Seven Deadly Sins, Bleach, Fairy Tail, My Hero Academia, Alchemist Brotherhood. Crazy amount of collabs anyways. So, yeah.
Does look good. But.
Yeah. We have another trailer for Rent-A-Girlfriend, Chris. It's time for our regular update of Rent-A-Girlfriend. No new girls this time, though, unfortunately. It's just a trailer. I think the trailer is specifically more focused on showing the premiere of July 10th, but they also had a very brief sample of Sentimental by the Peggies, which they will be doing the theme song, which is the Sentimental. So, really cute little song there to check out and be excited for that show. I think everything's kind of lining up for that show to be a great show, hopefully. Hopefully. We've been kind of hyping it for a while now. So, there we go. Let's see here. This one's you. I just thought it was silly and I love it when
when businesses jump in on geekdom stuff, and this is one of those things where Bridgestone Tires, a lot of fans from Demon Next Door, they were asking Bridgestone how much the big O tire that they were training with, how much it actually weighs. You see the demon girl, she's trying to pull it and she can't pull it, and the magical girl just kind of picks it up like it's light as a feather. Bridgestone popped up and actually answered the question of how much it actually weighs, and it's 5 metric tons. And I just love the fact that Bridgestone was jumping all over that.
There you go. Answer the important questions.
I missed that show.
That was a cute show. That's actually very surprisingly heart touchy at the end there too. So yeah, The Demon Girl Next Door. Check that one out. Crunchyroll has begun to stream Tenchimoyo Ryoki OVA Season 4, so...
They got 5 as well.
They got 5, too.
That popped up on the bottom of my screen when I was looking at Crunchyroll. So I was looking at this particular thing, and it was popping up that number 5 is on there, too. The odd thing is 1, 2, and 3 are not there.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Everybody was complaining about that down in the comments.
That's surprising. I mean, I don't know if maybe Funimation has it and they just haven't done anything with it or what, but it's like, I understand it's cool to get the newer stuff. That way people aren't going out to get it from other sources, but it's like, please just give me the entire catalog so I can watch it from the beginning. I jumped into one of them. I was like, yeah, I don't have no clue who these characters are right now.
I don't remember how far into Ryoki we got. Did we watch the first season or two? I know that we at least watched the first season.
I watched the original Ryoki OVA, but not these new ones. No, I haven't watched any of these ones. I just want to buy them all. That way I know where.
Right.
I don't have to worry about where I'm stringing it from. I need to collect them anyways, but yeah, there you go. That's really cool that we're getting them. It's been kind of dry from them for a long time, so it's good to see them finally coming over here. Series that are ending. We have BL Metamorphosis. Has a little bit of remaining in its series. Tiblio Gate, I hope I'm not butchering that, manga is entering its climax. Rainbow Parakeet Remake manga is ending in July. Kaguya-sama Love is War Dojinban spin-off manga is ending this month. Strike the Blood novel series main story is coming to an end. Konosuba An Explosion on This Wonderful World sequel manga is ending in June. And this one's a surprise. Apparently Dreamer Mary manga author says that it has a small amount remaining. I didn't even know that Dream Eater Mary was still going on. I really need to find out if anybody has that, because that's one that I watched the anime and I kind of wanted to see a proper, because of course according to most people the anime kind of botched the ending just to have a conclusion, and so I'd kind of be curious to see how that, because it does have a really cool concept behind it that I would love to see kind of fleshed out in the entire manga series. So, and then Kakushigoto manga is ending on July 6th. So cool stuff. New licenses. J Novel has When the Clock Strikes Z novel, Monster Tamer novel, The Epic Tale of Reincarnated Prince Hersherik novel, Bibliophile Princess manga, The Tales of Muriel Cleric manga. Discotech has got the license for the Blu-ray release of Caligula TV series. They will release it on August 25th.
That should be Caligula.
Caligula?
Caligula. I was just trying to help.
Oh. Manga Planet has Butterfly Storage manga, The Flavors of Kumika manga, Missile Bird Badminton manga. Kodansha Comics has Cells at Work Bacteria manga, Cells at Work Platelets manga, Cells at Work's Baby manga, and That Time I Got Reincarnated Again as a Workaholic Slime manga. Kaiten Books got Uzumaid, Our Maid is Way Too Annoying manga. And that is it for the new licenses. So check those out if you are interested in them. Sure, we can probably go check out Platelets, the manga. since we didn't get Platelets, the movie. Some quick news related to COVID delays. We have Tales of Cristoria game is delayed until it's delayed from its June release date. Gundam Hathaway anime film is delayed. Crunchyroll Expo 2020 has been canceled. Tokyo Metropolitan Government has issued an alert, recording 34 new infections in a day, so that doesn't bode well to their idea of trying to open things up. Ghibli Park construction to begin in July for fall 2020 opening, but they see no delays due to COVID, so I guess that's a positive in the middle of all my delays here. Diary of Our Days at the Breakwater anime is going to be restarting on July 7th. The Misfit of Demon King Academy anime is to air on July 4th. No Guns Life second half is going to premiere in July. Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon Season 3 has been delayed all the way until October, which is unfortunate. Danmachi Infinite Combat game is delayed in the West until later this summer. Salt Lily Banquet or Bouquet anime delayed until October. Bungo and Alchemist is delaying its eighth episode until July 3rd. That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime second season is delayed until January of 2020 or 2021. I'm not traveling time here. And Slime Diaries is slated to release in April of 2021. So that's another unfortunate. But again, don't get me wrong. They're keeping safe. The Rurouni Kenshin live-action final chapter film is delayed until spring of 2021. Seven Deadly Sins anime is slated to air in October. That was slated to release in October is delayed. Life-size Gundam statue is delayed its debut. And Strike the Blood 4 OVA second volume is delayed until July 29th. That's it. Got through them all.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
There's all your sad news in a really quick run through.
I blame it all on Andrew.
There you go.
Because you were the one that was complaining about how crazy this season was going to be.
And then lost half of the shows overnight. Yes, thank you. Other news. Let's go back to the happy news. Neptunia Virtual Stars will release physically and digitally on PS4 in the West. So cool stuff there. It's always good to see cute anime console girls coming to the West and not to be stuck in the Easterns. But I haven't really played a Neptunia game in forever since I actually used to get review codes all the time. I have not played them in a long time. See here. Yeah, this happened.
I was actually debating on whether or not I should put it on there, and you ended up putting it on there too. I figured you had something to say about this, so go, Andy.
Yeah, so Sega's like, hey, we have an announcement for a console, and everybody was getting all like, what the hell are they talking about? And apparently they said, hey, you guys like your cool little returning console things, right? And I guess they technically did well with the Genesis one, which I didn't technically buy, but because I really, even though we had a Sega, I never wasn't really a Sega fan, or Sega Genesis fan anyways, but no, we had Nintendo, and I had a friend that had Sega Genesis. But I did like the Game Gear. Like, there was a few games on there that I really liked. And so, yeah, when I first heard somebody say, yeah, they're making a Game Gear, I'm like, oh, cool, Game Gear. And then I looked at the picture, and it literally has this thing literally in the palm of his hand. Like, with inside the palm of his hand. Not, like, reaching from edge to edge of his palm, like, inside the palm of his hand.
I literally went...
Why does this exist?
The size of this thing, and you know these are Japanese hands that are holding this thing. In our country, our thumbs will squish the stupid thing. There's no way.
There's like a there's an issue of Fat Fingers really messing with those two buttons, those two face buttons. No, it's like the screen is like an inch screen. I don't know how you can read it. But the only thing that really upsets me about this, like I don't really care. Like, okay, this is not for me. Cool little collectible. I don't know if it has like a loop on there. You can put it on a keychain or something because it's literally the size of a keychain.
I thought about that. I was like, that'd be kind of cool on my keychain.
But... And they're $50 each, which is
they're $50.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, no!
And you have to buy. They each have four games on them. There's four of them. So it's like the news keeps making this worse and worse as it goes along. It's like, okay, way too small.
No, they don't but have I kinda four like games. Certain games. There's four of them
on each one of them. There's four different colors.
There's four colors.
And each one has different games.
Right. So one's
got Sonic and the Hedgehog.
Oh.
Puyo Puyo 2.
See, I didn't get this far into the list.
Outrun and Royal Stone. One has Sonic and Tails, Gunstar Heroes. Yeah, the yellow one's the thing.
That's about the only one that I'd
I'm going through these and I'm going, okay, they're each $50 and they each have four games. And they're the size of I don't even know if like my eyes can see what's on that screen, especially if there's text. But then I scroll I get further in the news and I'm like, there's one that has like Shining Force, Shining Force 2, and Shining Force Final Conflict. I was like, no, I kind of want that now. But then of course the reminder is that this is Japan right now. There's a pretty good chance this will never see the light of day in the West.
That's true.
I can see them going, wow, you guys did that over in Japan. And they're like, yeah, you guys want to do that over there in the US? So them going here going, that is not going to sell over here, dude. Like, unless you take all those and put them on the same one and make it a little bit bigger, that's not selling over here. Like, I can see this being a collectible thing, but I don't see it ever selling over here. That's just way too small. Way too small. Did they purposely make his hand look bigger? His fingers look weird.
I think so.
His fingers look really weird. Oh, but yeah, that's been a trash fire like all week in the gaming sphere. Is everybody going, wow, I was really excited for like 2 seconds until I seen it in that guy's hands. But yeah, Shining Force would have been awesome. Like that sounds really cool to have a full Shining Force small console. Like
I'm technically on my Switch.
I'm sort of half saying that if they did announce that it was going to come the West and they were going to translate all those Shining Force games, because I don't think we ever got the later Shining Force
games. I don't
know
if that third one is on there.
Right. I have to double check it. Yeah, I don't think Final Conflict was over here. But yeah, I could be wrong.
But yeah, I do know that Shining Force and Shining Force 2 are on the Genesis collection that I bought.
Yeah, I'm curious if these Megami Tensei games were ever over here. If they were over here, they probably changed
those,
the titles.
Are those?
Because that was back in the day when you wouldn't put Bible in the name of it.
Is that Shin Megami Tensei?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because I do know that that's like a massive library of games, but I don't know how much about that.
But yeah, that happened. They're releasing in Japan on October 6th, so very, very interesting. Yeah, $50 each. And if you buy all four of them, you can get a magnifying glass. You can get a magnifying attachment if you buy them all. So weird. It's like, hey, we're acknowledging the fact the screen's way too much. And it doesn't even look like it makes it all that bigger. Like, because you can't really, because you have to have your fingers here. It probably makes it like a 2-inch screen, diagonal. That's, again, reminder, most every screen when they announce the screen size, it's diagonal. So that's an inch diagonal. That's just crazy. What were they thinking? Japan, you're crazy. Playing on that nostalgia. And what Chris mentioned at the very beginning and spoiled everything for y'all, so it's not much of a surprise, but Konosuba Game is released that originally released on PS4 and Vita back last year is getting an enhanced version for PS4 and Switch in the coming, I don't know, they didn't actually say a time. But yeah, the one they released last year, it's going to have to be an enhanced version of it for Switch and PS4. It's called Konosuba Subarashi Sekai ni Shukufuku o Kibu no Maikyu Sudoi she Bokinsha Tachi Plus. Basically, the plus on the end is the new title. It's, of course, an enhanced version, which will have new feature, new elements. I don't think I've found anything that says exactly what those new elements are, but excited for a Switch release of it. So,
yeah, we were, I think if I remember right, we were complaining about the fact that it was only going to...
Well, that's the other important thing.
It wasn't coming to the US.
Yeah, this is another important thing to mention, that this is just a new version of it in Japan. We still don't know if it's going to come to the West. So, unless you've seen a news bit saying that it's coming to the West.
I seen it on Crunchyroll. They may have said something different.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that is the difference.
What?
Maybe it did say that. I don't know. I don't remember.
Was it deep into Crunchyroll?
It'll probably be around the same time as that. On the 28th?
Well, if it was back then, it's going to be the same news, which is just that Japan was saying, we're making this. Which I doubt they're going to immediately go, hey, it's coming west! Or somebody's like, we'll port that! Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll hopefully eventually have good news that it's coming over here. Been pretty good about getting a lot of titles for the Switch over here. So, and of course, the title is a Switch course, and of course, technically PS4, not region locked. So you technically could bring it over with, you know, Japanese text. All right, that's all the news that seemed important to us that we thought would be important to you because it's important to us because it's important to you. And with that, we move on to our community section where great members of our community have asked some great questions and we'd like to answer. Again, if you want to ask us questions, go to otakuspirit.com, go to the forums up there, click the link, sign up, talk to some great people, post a question in our Anime Quest question thread, or you can go to the contact us button at the top of otakuspirit.com, hit us up on Twitter, many different ways you can get a hold of us, including like Hachimaki did, who made a really huge one that we're still plugging through, and hopefully we'll plug through quite a bit more in this particular episode because we have a little bit of time to go by. So, you ready, Chris?
As ready as I'm ever going to be.
All right. Hachimaki says, do you also, and this is going to, of course, be a continuation of this post, so it might sound like I'm jumping the middle here. Do you also sing these songs from time to time by yourselves with lyrics in front of you? Yesterday, we joked again with my colleagues that once this crisis is over, we'll organize a karaoke, which we've never had before. But if I understand well what they say, they don't want to hear my Japanese. there's some songs, yes, I will sing along with, like in my car, but I don't sing that, publicly or anything like that, because I'd probably be like, yeah, I would sing out one word that's in Japanese, and the rest of it's just maybe me mumbling.
You make fun of them a lot, so...
But yeah, not very often. But there's some that I like to... Especially if there's some English in there. It's really easy to sing along when it's got some English in there. See you on the other side! I got that part! I can sing that part!
I stubbed my toe!
Yeah, I don't understand that one. Chris says right after he says that I make fun of shows or songs. Yeah,
I did make fun of that. I don't know why that particular song.
It was some Suano song.
No, it wasn't Suano. That was song. That it was not. Mm-hmm. It was
Oh no, you're thinking. I was thinking of the one stab ourselves with knives or whatever.
That no, that I'm talking about the. It was one of the stinking dragon shows, Bahamut.
Gotcha. Rage of Bahamut.
Rage of Bahamut. And one of the songs, I don't know why that song just, I got a kick out of them saying silly things and it sounded like,
I don't think they said silly things. You just thought it was silly.
I thought it was silly. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But no, I don't think I did karaoke. I mean, that would probably be fun, but yeah, I usually shy away from something that... Like, I'm fine with making a fool of myself for the comedy of a group, but for some reason, karaoke's not one of them. I don't know why.
I'm not particularly a singer, so I'm sure I'm way off tune, so I don't even try, and not particularly on Japanese. I did memorize a couple of songs, but I rarely
Life is like
do.
A boat doesn't count. It was in English.
Half of it was English. I know.
It was in English. You can't do that. Hachimaki says, and years later, sometimes I find sheet music for this or that song and try to learn to play it sluggishly on a piano, and I'm blown away. I'd love to do that, though. That'd be a fun thing to do. There's a couple people on YouTube that do a lot of, like, you know, Attack on Titan music and stuff like that on piano, like real pianos, which were really cool, so. He says, if I compare the whole process with what happens with music openings and endings for Western TV shows with actors and how they trigger none of these steps for me, such a shame. As native English speakers, do you envision an alternative world where every Western TV show could have multiple English pop openings and endings with lyrics that talk about similar themes as unison? Would it trigger the same fandom? Would they be weird? The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime has a different 60s ending song for each episode, and it's pretty cool, but that is a special case. Am I biased, or can we agree that J-pop and J-rock have clearer vocals on average than modern English pop and English rock? The volume of instruments is too loud in comparison to vocals in English, from my point of view.
I have no idea. I have not followed anything modern in 20 years. So good luck with that one on me.
It's an interesting point, and if I'm reading this correctly, it's an interesting point that I think that technically, now that I'm really kind of thinking about it, yeah, they are pretty, like, the balance of vocals are typically higher in anime songs, if that's what you're talking about. Like, you can hear them a lot more clearer, and I think a lot of it has to do with the focus on the vocalist, which I guess technically is the focus with, you know, say, for instance, Britney Spears or something like that. They're going to be the focal point. But yeah, technically the instruments are sometimes bleated out.
I can say that, yeah, J-pop and J-rock are a lot more clear on the vocals. But I mean, my extent of modern pop is what, that Friday Girl. And I think that was like 5 years ago. So,
okay.
I don't know. She technically, she was very clear, but that's not, I guess the Justin Bieber guy, I don't know. I guess he was kind of clear on some of his songs. Cry Me a River. That's Justin Timberlake. I guess he was clear. I don't know. I don't understand. So,
Friday Girl.
Oh, yeah.
The Friday Girl. That's the extent of my pop culture references. The Friday Girl.
The happy guy. The happy guy. He sings about being happy, and he was clear. I don't follow modern English stuff, so.
Could you imagine, like, could you imagine Friends with multiple openings? or if Simpson would kill themselves over the 5,000 episodes they've done and having a different intro episode with different, like, pop artists.
Well,
and
they do the different
alterations, but it's typically the seating's always changing, but
and the song's always the
same unless it's like a theme to
the whiteboard.
Unless it's like a theme to like a, you know, holiday or something like that, they'll festivize it, whatever. But that would be kind of interesting to see, like, yeah, suddenly out of nowhere it's Bump of Chicken doing an intro for Simpsons. Justin Bieber or something doing an intro, then Lady Gaga doing an episode entrance for Simpsons. They could totally pull that off. Like, if they wanted to, they could totally have like a season of like an artist and then like a season of an artist. That'd be very interesting. I would probably go back to check those out if I knew that, just to see how that would work out for something like that. Because, I mean, that is the way of anime. It's like every 12 episodes, there's a new song. Well, there's some some differences there. Some every now and then they'll sometimes do more than 12 episodes.
I don't know. I really do think that the point of a good band or a producer who's actually mixing the sound, the vocals will be clear no matter what. If they are making, if they have a bias towards something, they'll probably play that a little bit louder, but that would be silly, especially if you want to sell an artist. If you're trying to sell a band, the band will be evenly matched. There's no way.
Unless the artist is so bad they want to muffle him with loud music. just drop the bass. Just drop the bass. Cover it up. Drop the bass.
Now, techno, I will agree. Techno, but see, that is a different type of artistry. That is mixing...
The music is the vocalist.
Yeah, the music is the vocalist.
They might have repeating dialogue in there for the tune, but it's the music is the vocalist.
So yeah, that is. And if you listen to a lot of that, then I would say that's a different animal.
All right, Hajimaki says part two.
As he seems to be very inclined music, I seriously doubt he's even talking about that. But that's
part two. It's part two of the questions. We're on to part two, finally. An AFMIC request. In case you are inspired, otherwise no need to push yourselves. How would a dialogue between Chris and Andrew look like in the following situations? Someday, Andrew is transported to an isekai where he meets his creator. Chris turns out to be the one who writes Andrew's life. For the sake of entertainment podcast listeners, and nothing is real. Would Andrew be angry of all people who have suffered in the imaginary world just to make the same content at the beginning of the news episode? What would be Chris's excuse?
Well, most likely...
You created all of this just so I'd make a podcast?
Well, unfortunately, the podcast is important for you to do. It gives you something to do that is outside of your job, because I know how much your job just drives you crazy.
No, you literally just told me that this entire thing was for the sake of entertaining podcast listeners.
Well,
you literally just said that right there.
But it was important. You needed something.
There's children in Africa starving so that I can make a podcast for a bunch of people to stick inside their ears?
Yeah.
That's just sick.
It was important. You needed something that got your mind off of your work.
What's been the point of watching all these shows?
To get your mind off of work. I just said that!
1,200 shows! Well, people are starving in Africa. You're making me watch 1,200 shows for people.
I'm trying to get you your mind off of work. I know.
Why couldn't you be Aqua?
Why couldn't I be Aqua?
I wanted to meet Aqua, not you. At least I could have a dorky, dumb goddess that can make water sprout from
a
flower.
Well, I'm sorry that I couldn't be Aqua for you.
Couldn't be Aqua. Why the hell couldn't you be Aqua? Oh... Yeah, we're not going to mention where that came from.
The person who wrote my story didn't want to make me Aqua. My bad.
So the creator has a creator that created him to create the person to create the podcast.
Yep.
So you're playing the victim now.
Maybe. Maybe. Does it get me out of this?
He didn't make me Aqua. I wanted to be Aqua.
No, I wanted to be Mega Man.
Hajimaki says...
So I could blow you up.
Maybe we shouldn't mention what's anime. Yeah, we know what the anime is from. Well, I technically put the picture in here, but I get what you're going with on that. It's an amazing show. I wish I could mention what it's coming from, because that would spoil it. Says, when they were young, Andrew and Chris met. They looked the same. They enjoyed dressing up as each other to confuse people. But because of an incident, they got separated at the wrong time and had to pretend to be the other one for 10 years. They endorsed the identity responsibility work of one another. What would they talk about now? The first time they met after 10 years of separation.
You don't understand what I went through, Andrew.
My dad was a drunk and yours wasn't.
You got to live the whole princess life. I had to live on the streets.
Okay.
I guess too much spoiler.
It took a while to remember what that show was from. I like this, actually. I need somebody who watches a lot of shows to create some weird thing like this so I could try to figure out what show that is. That took me a while. Of course, I didn't technically look at what this image underneath it was, so that would, I guess, be the dead giveaway. That's funny. That's way funny. I don't know. What was it? Frog aliens or something like that?
Yeah.
Frog aliens or something like that. I forget what that was. All right. Part three.
Oh, no. She was a lizard alien because she was referencing the reptilians.
Yeah. Hachimaki question time. ReZero Sakurada reset existential question. What would you do if your life restarted at a checkpoint 5 years ago and you were retaining all of your memories of the last 5 years? My guess is that you wouldn't rewatch 5 years of the same anime. Would you dedicate your free time to gaming instead of anime and make a gaming podcast? Would you be completely bummed that people in the new reality would never benefit from all these reviews of or rejoice more years of life and treasure anime memories? Would you wait 5 years to go back to anime full time? Would you just pick your favorite music from anime as a release? If you could decide to trigger going back to this checkpoint, what would you do? I'm going to ignore the fact that it has a lot more meaning to us than most people would think, but keeping it strictly anime related, because a lot of crap's happened in the last 5 years. It's funny because I don't know.
I think it would be interesting to kind of double up. I mean, watch all of the shows that we've been saying that we want to catch up on for the last 10 years, actually go ahead and catch up on those shows while still releasing the shows that we've already technically done.
Well, see, there's the problem is that if you go back 5 years, okay, let's say right now we did it, go back 5 years and there's this show going on right at that time. I don't know that I would have enough of a clear vision of that show to review it again. So, like, it's not that I could sit there and review all the shows as they went along, because especially like today I was just thinking about, cause I had to fix my fan again. And I was trying to remember the last time I fixed the fan, because I vividly remember the last time I fixed the fan, I watched through Bermuda Triangle, whatever, Pastel, I forget what it was called. The Mermaid Show.
Right.
And even with that show, it's almost that point where I don't really remember much about it.
Because
it's been a year and I thought about that literally too, 200 shows since then.
But I was cheating based on the fact that he was saying that we have all memories. So whether or not I remember right yeah, now is irrelevant.
If I can remember everything vividly for the last 5 years, when I went back 5 years, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But I doubt I'm going to have a vivid memory of all those shows, especially, I mean, thinking about going back 5 years.
But at least we'd know which ones we want to watch, so we could technically kind of trim it down a little bit, but...
That is true. There is an aspect that essentially the shows that we really did like, I'd be more willing to rewatch and do a review on it. And then the shows that I know that I didn't particularly care much for, I could probably skim through it and remember everything enough that I could do a review of it again. So there is that aspect. But there is also the issue that re-recording reviews is very difficult. We have done that before. And it's very difficult to get that, you know, a clear idea of what you thought of something when you have to re-say it.
I think that we learned after like two times of doing it, we just forget it. We're not even going to try and recapture the essence of the jokes, because that's the point. That's the problem, is you can't fake a joke that you've already done. You can't do it.
I went back to 2015. I could totally drop a review of Death Parade really easy. That's a show that's very memorable. Now, there's aspects of the later part that would be more difficult for me to remember much of because it was a little bit more crazy in the later parts of it. Assassination Classroom, I couldn't tell you much of it. That I can't remember much of it besides Bitch Sensei.
Poor thing.
Like, yeah. There's a lot of show. I don't remember much about it.
That was a solid
Re-Zero
season.
Re-Zero second season would be easy to review again. Oh, man. Marie the Virgin Witch. That'd be great to re-review.
That's what I was saying. That's a solid season.
I'm not rewatching 3 Year Mirage. Rolling Girls, I'm not rewatching that. Not watching Kufukuri Graffiti. I do really want to go back and watch Kufukuri Graffiti just for the Shaft aspect. I can finally go back and watch Isekai. I keep telling myself I want to go back and watch that stupid show with the monster, the people eating car that happened. I can go back and tell myself that I'm actually going to watch through all of Fafnir so that way we can watch Dead Aggressor Exodus this time that we didn't do back then when we told ourselves we were going to do that. Oh my gosh. And you can rewatch through that show. I forget the full title of it. The Fafnir show. Unlimited Fafnir. Yeah. Because you love that show.
Seems like maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I technically could probably.
I'll let you do Maria of these, the Virgin Witch.
I'd probably want to rewatch all these shows. I mean, that was a good year. Seraph of the Inn was that year. Blood Blockade came out. That Ori Monogatari that I didn't care much for. Punchline. Nice Sidonia. God, what a good year. It's a good year, man. 2015 was a good year. But anime is dying, apparently. Overlord, Gate, Gangsta, School Live. My wife is a student council president. It's the anime
love
of the year.
Show.
Ushio and Tora. Nanbiori, Repeat. Castle Town. My gosh, 2015 was amazing. Closing. It's making me depressed. Oh, gosh. What else was in this question? Let's see. I would probably, again, keep it to gaming anime. I would, yeah, probably a lot of games I'd like to play through again. But yeah, I think I agree with Chris. A lot of it would probably want to be, I think that would be the formula there was, we'd probably have a season where we'd kind of go, okay, look, these are the shows that were really great. I want to rewatch through these so we give a clear review of them. These other shows, scan them so that we can review them again. And then just throw in a lot of shows that we've been wanting to watch and get caught up on would probably be the solution there. If you could decide to trigger going back to this checkpoint now, would you do it? Yes. That's an easy answer for me. But again, that's me thinking outside of anime and gaming for personal reasons. So I think everybody would love to have another 5 years. I mean, that's an easy answer for even anybody that's not dealing with certain things. So,
can we do 20 years?
That'd be nice. That'd be a lot of nice. The older you get, the more you want time to go back. The more you want to go back in time. Okay, this is getting really depressing. Moving on. Hajimaki says, this is part 4. Excuse to talk about the Hanasaki Roha, which is always a good thing. And I hope I'm going to remember most of Hanasaki Roha to answer whatever you're going to ask. I recently finished Hanasaki Roha. I waited a long time for this to be published in my region, but the wait was in vain. That was glorious, and I cried. What? But the wait was in vain.
He probably meant to say was not
in vain. Not in vain. Yeah, okay. I was like, crap, he didn't like it.
Well, right after he says that, he says that was glorious.
And I cried.
So,
unless it was in vain that you had to cry and you're like mad about that. How can it be better than Shirobako? It was better. For me, Shirobako remains the best anime ever and to this day motivates me to work harder when I'm in a rush. The aspect of overcoming work hardship as a team self-sacrifice for the team resonated much more with me because I was in the situation at the time of watching. So you had a similar situation with Shirobako as I did with Hanasaki Roha, and that's awesome. I like that.
I'm going to disagree with both of you. I think, can't even think of the name. Dadgummit.
He apparently thinks we're both wrong because I can't remember. He's going to say a show that he thinks is better than Mario Kata's Hanasaki Roha. Be ready, people. It's coming.
Yes,
what is,
it
better,
is better
than Mario Kata's show?
Shogun Roku, Rakugo Shinju. I still think that is the best show of all time.
Burn. There you go.
Sorry.
Chris called it.
I can't agree with either of you on that.
But no, I'm glad you love Sarabaka. I mean, that's one of those great things. It's like, so you like Sarabaka more than Hanasaki Roha, but that doesn't make Hanasaki Roha not an amazing show. So they're both amazing shows. It's just, it just tells you how much amazing Sarabaka is. So it's good stuff. Okay, in
I agree, both of them are great shows. So
Hachimaki says, okay, in Hanasaki Roha, Ohana-chan is an amazing Bombori mode most of the time, except maybe in the later part. Then it focuses more on the other characters. Then say Ohana-chan is not herself anymore. Indeed, she lost some of her ginkiness. I went back to your review episode and agree that some characters can be criticized. Minko is a bit too much tsundere. But anyways, I loved all these characters. Perfect show. But okay, half of the reason for me being more blown up by Sarabaka was the inside look of the anime creation that is compatible with my love for making of movies and other media. I can relate so much more to the office work and deadline aspect with the work of a waiter. And then how can you relate more to Hanasaki Roha? I guess that's the achieve your dreams aspect. And don't you think opening two of Sarabaka beats the opening endings of Hanasaki Roha? I have a soft spot for Fauna. But I can't remember what the opening ending was Sarabaka season 2, so I can't say for sure right now off the top of my head. But know that I'm sure they're fantastic. No, it's an interesting thing because I think we kind of mentioned this when we were talking about, you know, the relatability of characters, and we've talked about my experience with Hanasaki Roha and how it grabbed me. That bonding aspect of a character that, yes, I'm not a female. Yes, I'm not her age. Yes, I'm not in Japan at a hot spring inn. Yes, I don't have a grandmother who's an awesome inn owner that, you know, works me to the bone. I don't have these two girlfriends at an inn working there, you know, part-time as I go to school. Nothing about her is a connection to me as a person. We have completely different lives. But it's just the aspect that there is a goal and the hard work to get to that goal and desire to enjoy what you do. Those general purposes was what linked to me at a particular time in my life. Completely different lives, completely different circumstances, but there was her desire to find what she enjoyed in life and a work that she enjoyed and that she loved was something at the time that I needed a kick to go after as well. So it was there was a bond happening there, even though the circumstances were completely different. I completely agree with you. It's probably more easier to, I guess, relate to characters that are in a work environment, an office, cubicles, having meetings and stuff like that, than a girl scrubbing floors and taking a brush to to a bathhouse. I mean, those are completely different aspects, but that's just the kind of experience I have.
So does that mean that I relate with an old man, grumpy old man?
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Kiku. and you do Rakugo on a stage
yes,
at night.
That's me.
Do Rakugo on a stage at night. But yeah, I mean, I can see the bond there. And that was the whole reason why I struggled with even watching Sarabaka. Remember when back when we did our first impressions, I was literally like, I can't take this show right now because it's so stressful. Like, Shirobako's first core was stressful. You were watching a stressful work environment, and I related to it and didn't want to watch that stress because I was already stressing at work. So there was a bond happening there when I watched that show, and it wasn't until I kind of pushed myself to get through that first core and I started really rooting for the characters and I got really invested in their success that I was able to get past that stress. So it's funny how it kind of creates that, I guess, that bond that you have with the characters. Which is a good sign of a good show. So, if only we can get the movies another season. Now, please. Subtitles. Hachimaki's Part 5 is subtitles. Are you satisfied with the state of additional explanations in anime subtitles these days? The French subtitling of Boku no Hero Academia is disappointing on this aspect. Hero attributes that appear in Japanese on screens are never translated. I had heard a few years ago in an interview of Western French publishers explaining how hard it is to add additional notes to subtitles sometimes because of character number restrictions in some formats such as Blu-ray.
I did not know that there was a limit. The fan subs, one thing that they had in spades, if you went with certain ones, they did translator notes all over the screen, and they have had no qualms about doing it. And that was something that a lot of us went to those specific ones for that. Occasionally, I think that there's multiple translators up in like Crunchyroll, so some of them will do it, some of them won't, because it seems like it's very inconsistent. Some shows do it, some shows don't.
It's unfortunate that a lot of them seem like they would rather translate it to something different than explain to you what the joke, because that's the problem, and that's something that gets lost in the comedy shows especially, is they will purposely go out of their way in order to change the joke to make sense to Westerners rather than tell you the reason for the joke in Japanese. Yeah. Like, explain it with a subtitle up the top saying, you know, they use tachi at the end here, which technically makes this meaning to this, and that's why this is funny. They will instead make it just completely like, oh, they're talking about IHOP. That's funny. No, they weren't talking about IHOP. They actually were doing wordplay there, and we completely missed it because you decided to change it to IHOP instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of that is one of those kind of frustrating things, and it's typically something that they used to never do with subtitle stuff because they wanted to keep subtitle as close to the source as possible, whereas dubs, they can do where the hell they want to do with it because they have to match, you know, lip flaps and all this other stuff, so they kind of have to write it in a way that it makes sense to a Westerner that's not deep into the language culture of it. So I don't see it as often. It's very rare to see them actually explain a subtitle anymore. Yeah, there is the subtitles where there's something on the screen and they subtitle it so you know what it says on the screen. Hero Academia is a prime example of that. Every time a character pops up on the screen, they have to tell you what their freaking name is and their special ability every single time, every single episode. And it's kind of nice because it does kind of drill into your head, oh yeah, that's right, that's their ability. Yeah, I got it now. I for sure am going to know what their ability is when they finally use it. But rarely do you ever see them actually have an explanation subtitle. It's just something they don't really do much anymore, which is kind of sad because they are technically avoiding the wordplay jokes and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's one of those frustrating things because one of the main reasons why I'm quote unquote a sub purist, if you want to call it that, is mostly because I want to be as close to the original intent as possible. And we like Andrew was saying, I mean, we see the so it's not just a dub problem. It is literally, even in our Crunchyroll subtitles, they're still doing the changing the intent of certain phrases just to make it make sense in America. Doesn't need to happen. It really doesn't.
There's some cases where I think it does, especially when it's wordplay, but I think there's a lot of them that do that very well, where they'll just, like I said, when it is a wordplay thing, or if it's one of those ones where they're doing the whole thing where they start the other person has to start I forget what it's called, but you say a word and the other person has to start the next word with that katakana from the end of the previous word.
Right.
I think Mitsubishi Colors did it recently, and I think they did it well with that translation. Yeah. So I know it's possible to do that kind of stuff. They just have to technically leave at least the katakana in there so that we can, you know, see what it's doing.
Yeah, and that's where the translator's notes did phenomenal. Is look, they're doing a wordplay, and then they just start going on to their wordplay and say like taro, and then Roco or something like that.
It's funny to think about it, but when did I get like the most crash course courses in Japanese culture? When did I learn the most from Japanese anime? Was back in fan sub days.
Yep.
Like back then, way back in, you know, the early 2000s, when I was torn in this stuff, I was learning so much because these people that were doing excellent job of these subtitles. I mean, yeah, there was some that were lazy. There was a lot that were lazy. But there were some of them that were very dedicated people that were, they were describing like all these situations. They were describing these jokes. They were describing the wordplay and all this kind of stuff so that you could understand it. And yeah, sometimes there's a lot of joke pictures out there of like crazy subtitles where like takes up half the screen, but you were learning at the same time you were watching the show. And a lot of those encoders, they were able to like, you can turn them off if you wanted to actually watch the show without them. So it's fascinating to think about that stuff. Fascinating. Hachimaki says, even the translated text has to be sometimes cut so that the viewer has the time to read it. Does it bother you to pause the video to be able to read some text?
Nope. Have no problems with it at all.
Yeah. Very rarely do I ever have to actually go back. There's been some times where it's like, yeah, it kind of technically was pretty quick. Or Chris says, what did that say? And I'm like, I kind of put it to mind, but I didn't really, can't really rephrase it back to you. So I'll go back and check it out again. But it's rare. There's sometimes when they can get pretty quick, though. Some shows.
Yeah, it is rare for us to. Yeah, I mean, you've got to have like 5 lines or 6 lines on the screen before you actually catch us.
Do you have a clear view of which publishers and additional notes to subtitles and which don't? Which publishers add? No, I don't. That's a good question. I mean, I would probably be more. And this is purely just me speculating because it's I do buy a lot of anime shows, and of course this is going to be in U.S. releases. It's not going to be anywhere else. But based on U.S. publishers, this is my pure speculation. I would be more inclined to say Sentai Filmworks would probably be more willing to put that kind of stuff in there than Funimation, and Aniplex would probably be in the middle. I think Aniplex did that a lot with the Bakemonogatari series. They did a lot of cool little explanations in there. So I know that they do it. But I would be more inclined to think that Funimation would be more willing to change it rather than explain it. And Sentai Filmworks is another one that I think is willing to show it and explain it. But again, I know for a fact Aniplex does that stuff. I don't know for sure with Sentai and Funimation, because it's been a while since I watched their Blu-rays. So do you also think that Amazon Prime should receive more recognition for translating the openings and endings? They do it very consistently, I think. That is kind of a lost thing, which is really surprising, because it used to be pretty... Yeah, there was... I seem to remember back in the day, they did have a lot of cases where you would have, like, the first two episodes, they wouldn't translate the opening and endings. But by the fourth or so episodes, they typically would add the openings and endings translated. And it really does puzzle me why they don't really do it often. But that is a very good question. I really kind of wish that... I don't remember Amazon being that great about it, but technically, because I don't seem to recall them translating the Vinland Saga ones, but maybe they did. But I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, they should be recognized for it. But at the same time, they're not doing shows anymore, so it's like recognizing a show that doesn't recognizing a translator that no longer translates. It's kind of a little bit too late to the party in that situation. It's like, clap, clap, good job. Please come back and do more, I guess. I have to check that out, though. I, like I said, I don't recall them translating all too many openings and endings, but I'll take your word for it. I guess we'll leave out there, unless the next one... Yeah, it's just more questions on subtitles, so... We'll leave it there. The Hachimaki series of questions will continue into our next episode. We're almost done, actually. We're almost done with the Hachimaki series of questions. That has been fantastic. And then we'll get on to Sierra, Seth Amaha, and Homebound 11, as well as some... Probably Joe has some questions there, and Havoc has some more.
No bacon chips from the dark web?
I thought I did.
That was close. It gets scary when the dark web starts.
I think he did send us something because he was saying something about stealing your password to Minecraft.
Uh-oh.
So you're kind of in trouble. Yep. P.S. I have your Minecraft password.
No!
Bacon Chips has infiltrated Chris's Minecraft. See, and Chris was just talking earlier about how he was getting back into Minecraft.
He keylogged me.
Boom, keylogged right there. Did you play it within the last week?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. It was this week. I was playing it. And he totally...
Oh, this week you played it.
Yeah.
So he keylogged you back like last Monday. So, dang.
That's impressive.
That is really impressive.
You keylogged me into the future. Wow.
Well, I mean, the data is... It's a simple case of predictive texting.
Oh, okay.
So he predictive keylogged you with his amazing programming powers.
Dark web powers. I wonder if he's capable of handling the deep web.
Are you from the deep dark web? That's the question.
No, he said specifically the dark web. He's probably too afraid to go into the deep web.
No,
I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of the dark web. I wouldn't even think about going to the deep web.
Is that where they have like torrents of KissXX? I think I've been there.
No, I think that's on the normal web.
No. That's not dark enough. Boku no Picos from the dark web. Thanks again, Hachimaki, for the questions for this episode. And as always, people for submitting their questions as soon as we get around to getting to them. And please continue to send us your questions so we can keep doing these questionable podcasts, which are great. So, if you have like four of them already, you can just post them now. You don't have to keep building them up, but it's appreciated. Just teasing at you. But yeah, again, we thank you guys for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed this discussional podcast episode. Again, as usual, thanks for everybody for their support. All that support us on Patreon, those that support us by vocal, telling people about us, that's always great, and we do appreciate it. Again, we're at otakuspirit.com, where you can go for all of our anime new and old, great community and forum links at the top, social media links the right side, and all that good stuff. And we hope you guys enjoyed, and you all take care.
Oos!